Be in the house of the Lord. I thank God for the privilege to be here. Folk, I am serious about this. We need to learn to offer God the sacrifice of praise. Even when you don't feel like it, if you offer Him the sacrifice, that's why it's a sacrifice of praise. Amen? I'm always in wonder by those people who can sit around in church and look dignified and say, I'm just not that kind. The Bible said, offer Him a sacrifice of praise. Amen? That's why we are kings and priests. We offer sacrifice. Not of bulls and goats and turtle doves. I mean, just think about if we all brought turtle doves to sacrifice on the altar. It'd be a mess in this sanctuary, but we offer a sacrifice of praise. Amen? I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning. The Lord being our helper. You know, the book of Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Proverbs also says, these six things God hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And the first one that He lists is pride. I fear as the church, the body of Christ in America, somehow we have come to the point where we have gotten just a little bit too prideful to offer God a sacrifice of praise. Amen? John chapter 13, verse 1 through 17, I want to share with you something and talk to you for just a few minutes on something that God has laid upon our heart this morning and that I feel like that we need to look at and to understand. All too often, in the Word of God, we find things that we as human beings have this ability and this knack for creating things to do. And in the Word of God, the Bible instituted for us the Lord's Supper, and I understand that, and Jesus did that, and I also understand baptism, water baptism. He did that, but I want to touch base on something this morning that maybe some of you have been involved in, maybe you haven't. It's not really important one way or the other, but I want to touch on foot washing for just a little while. And you'll find out where I stand on it before this message is over. Amen? But a lot of times we will find things to create the illusion of doing something for God when really it's created by man and it's man-made. And it's not what God intended at all. So I want you to keep that in mind. And with that thought and reading the scripture in John chapter 13, begin reading with verse 1 and go through verse 17. I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while on this thought. Swollen heads and smelly feet. I knew that one would get you. Amen. Swollen heads and smelly feet. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and layeth aside His garment, and took towels, and girded Himself. After that He had poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. And therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken their garments, taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not, or know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for I so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, having washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that we can rightly divide the Word and understand the Word. And Father, that we can move in the Spirit of God according to your direction and understand the things of God. I ask you now, as we look into this Word, Father, that you would anoint these lips of clay and use me for your glory and for your praise and for your honor this morning. Give us understanding. Give us ears to hear. Lord, we are a needy people today and we need to hear from you. And Father, we glorify you, we praise you, and we honor you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of Jesus, God's lovely Son, that we ask it. Amen and amen. Verses 1 and 3 of that chapter said something to me, and I want to share it with you. Because in verse 1, the Bible said, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and then in verse 3, Jesus knowing that his Father had given all things into his hand, there were some things in this scripture that Jesus knew. What he knew was that he was going back to God. He knew what his mission was. He knew what his purpose was. He also knew at this point in the scripture that his time was coming close, that it was time for him to be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. And then he goes through a ritual that I'm going to break down and share with you some things this morning about it. And then in verse 17, the Bible says this, If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. There are some things that all Christians should know. Amen. I believe that we have kind of got sidetracked in our churches today on the feel-good gospel. Amen. That points to us and blames everything on the world or on somebody else and says that we need to have it all, that we can blab it and grab it and name it and claim it and all that stuff. And I believe we got sidetracked from some things we need to get back to. I believe the first thing that Christians ought to know is they ought to have a full assurance of their salvation, and not only a full assurance of it, but they ought to know who paid for it. Amen. It wasn't us that purchased it. We did nothing to enhance it. We did nothing to desire it. We did nothing to deserve it. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, died on the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt and to pay my sin debt before we were ever born. Has nothing to do with us. It's all about Him. And we need to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's nothing that you can do to deserve salvation. We need to know that. We need to know who paid for it and how He paid for it. I read a story recently about the great physicist Albert Einstein. And this story says that Dr. Einstein was on a train. He was going on a trip, and he was sitting in the car, and the train was going down the tracks, and all of a sudden the conductor comes through the door, and he starts taking tickets and punching them. You know how they used to on the train? And when he come to Dr. Einstein, he couldn't find his ticket. Searched in his coat, looked everywhere, looked in his seat. And the conductor said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. Everybody knows who you are. I'm sure you purchased a ticket. It's okay. Don't worry about it." So the conductor goes on down the car, and he's punching tickets, and he looks back, and here's Dr. Einstein down on his knees under the seat looking for his ticket. So the conductor rushes back over to him, and he said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I know who you are." Dr. Einstein looked up at him, and he said, "Young man, I too know who I am. It's where I'm going that I don't know." We need to not only know who we are, but we need to know where we're going. Amen? And we can know where we're going. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we're going. You see, we need to know that, and we need to understand that. I not only know who I am this morning, I know where I'm going. How about you? I am telling you that if the death angel knocks at my heart's door before the sun goes down on this day, don't worry about me. Let's have a party. I've graduated. I know where I'm going. God's children can know where they're going. I believe second Christians ought to know some of the lessons that Jesus taught about service and servitude. Amen? Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 7. And let's share this scripture today. Mark, chapter 7, and verse 7. And here's what the Bible said. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things you do." You see, we have come to the point where not only do we have the idea that we can help God save us, we can help God keep us that way. Amen? Folk, our traditions do not amount to anything. They stink in the nostrils of God. I tell you this morning, the only thing that moves God is the praises of His people. The Bible said God inhabits the praise of His people. You want God to move in with you? Start praising Him. Start offering Him the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we as Christians miss the lesson Jesus was teaching in our rush to show an outward sign of our faith. We try to demonstrate to the world what our faith is, and we do that by forming traditions and plans that God never taught. I'm going somewhere with this, so just hold on. In our text, Jesus, hear me, Jesus was not teaching us to wash feet. Amen? Most of us know how to wash feet. Most of us know how to take a bath. You learn that at 2, 3, 4 years old. Amen? He was demonstrating what our attitude as a servant should be. Now I'm going to show you that out of the Word of God. The story is told about a state governor. And I read this one recently. And this state governor was out, and he was touring his state, and he got really busy one day, and he didn't get any breakfast, and it was coming up on the noon hour, and the church, he was attending a church social, and they were having a picnic. And so the governor gets in line, you know, to get food just like everybody else, and he's going down the line, and he's quite hungry. I mean, he's really hungry, but when he comes to the place where the lady is serving the chicken, she gives him one piece. And he looked at that and he said, "Ma'am, do you know, I'm really hungry. I could use another piece of chicken." And she said, "Well, I was told to give everybody one piece." And of course, then he got a little indignant and he said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" And she, how many of you know we get that way? Do you know who I am? And she said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "I am the governor of this state." And she said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" He said, "No, ma'am." He said, "I'm the lady in charge of the chicken." Gotcha. Sometimes we get to the point where we sense our own importance and who we are and forget about who God is. Now, that's what happened to these disciples, and I'm going to show you about that in a minute. It's so easy for us to get caught up in who we think we are. Amen? We sometimes get the idea that the church is here to serve us. How many of you realize we're here to serve the church and the community and the drunk down in the gutter? And the people that are downtrodden and hurting. That's why God saved you and made you a king and a priest. God did not save you so he could bring you to some place so he could serve you. I know that shocks some of you, but it's true. You see, Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And he expects us, his children, to do the same. In order for us to completely understand the reason for what Jesus did on that night when he arose and he washed the disciples' feet, we need to go first of all to John chapter 13. That's where our text is. But once we read and we understand what he did, let's just refresh it in vernacular that we can understand. They had had the Last Supper, and Jesus got up, laid aside his garment, girded himself with a towel, and began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, there was a reason for that. So, what was the reason? What was really going on that brought about this act of servitude and this demonstration of servitude? Go with me back to Mark chapter 9 and verse 30. Here is something that's amazing to me because I see it go on all the time. I see it go on in church after church over the years, and probably you have seen some of it. But I want you to look at this very carefully. Mark chapter 9. Now, you got to realize that Jesus knew that he was at the point of going to the cross of Calvary. He was at the point that he was going to depart, and that's what he'd been trying to tell these guys, Peter and John and all his disciples. But in Mark chapter 9, verse 30, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not or desired not that any man should know it," that they were leaving, all right? "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed," what's he trying to tell them? He's trying to tell them he's going to the cross of Calvary. He's trying to tell them, and this is what he knew, that his time was come. It was time for him to be sacrificed. "But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him." Listen, and there's a reason. Listen to verse 33. "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves?" By the way, I want you to get this. "But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves," look at that next sentence, "who should be the great." They could not understand or grasp what Jesus was saying to them because they were busy arguing amongst themselves on who was the best, who was the greatest, who was going to be the supreme leader of this whole little group. You see that? Now, Jesus knew his time was come. He knew He was going to the cross of Calvary. He knew he was about to die. He was trying to communicate that to his disciples, but they were so busy arguing amongst themselves on who was going to be number one and number two and number three, they missed the entire thing. Are you seeing this? This inner circle of men, these men that Jesus had chosen, these men that had walked with him, and they were walking with the Lord, he was trying to inform them that he was going to the cross of Calvary. They were in a dispute among themselves about who should be the greatest, and Jesus rebuked them and said, "You fellows need to get your head on straight. The greatest among us is he who is servant of all." Even that didn't straighten them out. Bible said they held their peace because they disputed. And he sat down and called, this verse 35, called the 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and the servant of all." Jesus is trying to teach these guys, listen, I'm going away. You need to understand servitude. You need to understand being a servant is the important thing. We're not here to serve you. You're here to serve the world. Look at Luke chapter 22. Actually, let's back up first and look at Matthew chapter 20. I mean, everybody was in on this. It wasn't just the disciples. Everybody was in on it. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, the Bible said, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children." How many of you know that's John, the son of Zebedee? "And listen to what she asked. Her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him." Not only were the disciples in on this dispute, but their parents, their whole family was getting in on it. Amen. "And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Grant that these my sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of the Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers." These guys, it's coming down to Jesus' crucifixion. They're in one of the awfulest disputes and arguments over who's the best, who's going to sit at his right hand. Does that sound like church? Huh? Look at Luke chapter 22. Verse 20. Yeah. Let's look at verse 24. 20 is where he does the institution of the Lord's Supper. Verse 24 says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted greater." Now this says to me that not only were they doing it on the way, I mean, they had just got through. He had just got through instituting the Lord's Supper. In the upper room, the meal was over. You remember the Bible said that after the meal, he took bread and broke it, blessed it and gave it to them, and then he took the cup and blessed it and gave it to them. Now look what happens next. They still at it. They haven't figured it out yet. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The king of the Gentiles exercises lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth service. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Now, they still didn't get it. Because these disciples were having so much trouble and such a hard time understanding the concept of what Jesus was trying to teach them. When they walked into that room, in that upper room, not one of them grabbed a towel to wash another's feet. You see, here's the attitude they had. They had the attitude they should be served, not do the serving. Sound like a lot of churches I've been to. Let me share something with you. The custom of the day was that when a man came into the house for a meal, the lowest servant in the house washed his feet. And if there were no servants available, then the guests, this is the second part, washed each other's feet. These guys didn't wash anybody's feet. They just come in, sit down, went to eat. They were in a dispute about who was going to be the greatest. They had swollen heads and smelly feet. Amen? The disciples came in, sat down, began to eat. Jesus was waiting on somebody to have gotten it and be a servant. Not one of them humbled themselves enough to do what they should have done. So Jesus himself laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself, and gave them one of the greatest lessons in servitude that he ever taught. And you and I need to get a hold of it, folks. We need to understand that we're not here to be served, but to be servants. That's why God formed his church. That's why Jesus established his church, to be a service to a lost and a dying world. They had swollen heads and smelly feet. But I see their attitude a lot today. It's all about me. It's me, me, me. It's all about me. You think what I think what we're doing is raising a me generation. And I think we have substituted self esteem. You hear all about self and the importance of self. We hear about self esteem, self worth, self comfort. Let's take care of ourselves. It's all about us. But you know what you don't hear much about anymore? Self discipline, self denial, self sacrifice. We're not a whole lot different today than what these disciples were when Jesus was trying to teach them servitude and an attitude of servitude. They had pride in their life, and I'm afraid we have pride in ours. And we need to know that preoccupation with ourself will blind us to what is going on around us. Bubba was coming home from work on Friday afternoons, and he would go out in the backyard every Friday, throw a big old venison steak on the grill. The aroma and odor of that just in a little while was drifting through the whole community. And only one problem, the community was mostly Catholic. Fridays, he was grilling meat. So they called the priest and began to complain about it, and the priest went to see Bubba, and he said, "Bubba, you know there's an answer to this problem. We're really having a real problem with you cooking this meat on Fridays." And he said, "Here's the solution. Why don't you convert to Catholicism?" And Bubba thought about that and said, "Well, okay, I can try that." So they teach him their little school, and they take him down to the church, and the priest gets out the holy water, and he's sprinkling Bubba with the holy water, and he said, "You were born Baptist. You were raised Baptist, but now you're a Catholic." Okay. He was baptized Catholic. Next Friday, Bubba comes home, throws him a big old venison steak on the grill. The aroma's floating through the community. People get upset. They call the priest. Priest comes rushing over. He's going to critique Bubba. He's going to straighten him out. He walks into the backyard, and Bubba's standing there right in front of the grill, and he's got him some holy water, and he sprinkling on that steak. He says, you were born a deer, you were raised a deer, but tonight you're catfish. Folk, we got to change things to suit ourselves. Amen. God's laws are unquestionable. I want to say to you tonight, today, in all love, Jesus was not teaching us. All right, now you're going to have to quit laughing. I can't preach. Jesus was not teaching us how to wash each other's feet. He was teaching us servitude. And the reason he had to do it himself was because he just couldn't get it through to those disciples. He had tried. He knew he was going away. He knew he was going to the cross. He was trying to tell them he was leaving. They were so busy fighting amongst themselves as to who was going to be the best and the greatest and the goodest. They didn't hear a word that man said. So he took it upon himself to demonstrate servitude to them. When we close our hand and our heart to what God wants us to do, it's usually because of self preoccupation. We get so involved with what our rights are and what we need and what we want that we forget what God wants. And I counsel you today as one that loves you, we need to start looking at what God wants. Amen? We need to start offering God a sacrifice of praise every time we're in His presence. Bring Him in and then say, Lord, what would You have me to do? Not my will, but Thine be done. See, when we start coming up with reasons why we can't serve God in a certain way or in a certain place, we are really making excuses out of our pride as to the fact that we don't want to do it that way. We want to do it our way. Now, I've heard people say, well, I can't go to church at that church. They don't have what I need. Folk, I don't care where the church is. If it's preaching the Word of God, it's got what you need. Amen. It may not have what you want, but it's got what you need. Amen? I'll go farther and say this. If God has put you somewhere in a position or in a church and you decide not to go to that church or serve in that position because of somebody else that has offended you or somebody you don't like, you think about this. That person that you are using as an excuse not to serve God is closer to God than you are. Am I not right? Amen. So Jesus was teaching servitude. And I'm here to tell you this morning, upon the authority of the Word of God, that when we learn to be servants, when we learn to serve the Lord and His purpose and what He called us to do, that's when we're going to be happy. That's when we're going to be completely, totally content, completely, totally blessed, and completely in the center of God's will. Bible said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Are we doing God's will today? Is God the center of your life? Is worshiping the Lord the thing that you do when you come to church? Or are we sort of like these disciples with swelled heads and smelly feet? I think a lot of times we are. Sister Bird, I want you to come to the piano, if you will, this morning. I thank God for your attention. I have tried to do this with humor, but nevertheless, it's a serious message. Amen? It really is. We need to be about the Father's business. And all too often, we get involved in what we are and who we are and who we think we should be. And we get upset because people don't honor us for what we think we ought to be. But just to be honest with you, you pick the worst example of humanity that you know about in this community or in your family or anywhere. And there, but for the grace of God, go you. Amen? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about God's grace. It's about His Son dying on the cross of Calvary, taking away my sin and your sin, not ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. And then he left us with this responsibility. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So ours is not to be prideful and try to get what we deserve. You know, if you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell, because that's what you deserve. It was by the grace of God we're here today. Let us purpose in our heart from here on to just give God the sacrifice of praise. No matter what the circumstances are in your life, no matter what's coming against you, no matter what the situation is, if we will learn to give God a sacrifice of praise, God will honor that. God will meet with us. He'll move right into the jailhouse with you if you will sacrifice praise unto him. He'll move right up into your circumstances. But I am here to tell you this morning, as long as you carry pride in your life, God can't help you, because you're trying to do it yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we stand to our feet this morning. I want to open this altar for just one verse of a song. If you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart through this message or through something that has happened in this service, and you need to pray, whatever it is that you need from God, I want you to bring it to the Lord right now. Come into his presence. Come into his presence and allow him to cleanse you and purify you and set your feet on the solid rock and direct your face toward the rising of the sun. Father, in Jesus' name, I've preached that you have instructed me to preach this morning. I ask you now, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, that you would use this message and this service to touch your people. As I said, we're a needy people and we need you. Father, I ask you to come in our presence now. Touch our hearts. Help us to be obedient. Help us to put our pride out of the way and simply turn our heart and our life into your hands, that you might use us for your glory and for your praise. And we'll honor you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Go ahead, Bert. We have to learn to be obedient to God and what he would have us to do.
There's room at the cross for you. The millions have come. There's still room for one. Yes, there's
ready to receive what God has.
At the cross.
I rebuke the spirits of himself.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we will never be what God wants us to be till we get our eyes off of ourselves and put them on the cross of Calvary and understand what Jesus did for us and what He wants us to be. He's able this morning. I love you, church. I don't preach messages like I preached this morning to be critical, but I preach them to cause us to grow and get stronger in the Lord and be where God would have us to be. It's easy to get that poor little old pitiful me attitude. You know, I get it, and I know you do. They don't understand me. They don't love me. They don't care about me. But God cares about you. He cared enough to let His Son die for you. What else is there? Don't ever allow yourself to put somebody that you feel is against you between you and God. Then they're closer to God than you are. Right? Amen. So let's just purpose in our heart that we're going to love the Lord, serve Him and honor Him, bring to Him the sacrifice of praise, and let the world go where they want to go. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Everybody happy in the Lord?
I want to say he called me yesterday and wanted me to tell everybody that he's standing on that healing that was prayed for him, and he said he's able to stretch and do things now that he hasn't done for 10 or 15 years.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap.
Praise God.
My God is a healing Jesus. I don't know if you know that. We need to learn to just praise Him, bring to Him sacrifice. That's the only sacrifice we have to give Him. We don't need to bring bulls and goats and turtle doves into the church anymore. Can you imagine what a mess that would be? But we do need to bring the sacrifice of praise. We don't need to come before Him empty-handed.
I've been getting my